Wouldn't it be nice if your cash savings could just grow by itself? With the Wealthfront Cash Account, it can. Earning 4% annual percentage yield from partner banks on your uninvested cash. Nearly 10 times the national average. Just imagine if other things in your life worked the way Wealthfront works. If your house plants grew at 10 times the average rate, you'd have 10 times fewer issues with sad, stunted succulents. Your crocodile ferns would grow to the size of crocodiles. Wealthfront's cash account keeps your money thriving just like that, earning you an industry-leading rate with no account maintenance fees and with free 24/7 instant withdrawals so you can access your money whenever you need it. Money works better here. Go to Wealthfront.com to start saving. Cash account offered by Wealthfront Brokerage, LLC, member FINRA, SIPC. Wealthfront is not a bank. The APY on cash deposits as of December 27, 2024 is representative, subject to change and requires no minimum. Funds in the cash account are swept to partner banks where they earn the variable APY. The national average interest rate for savings accounts is posted on FDIC.gov as of December 16, 2024.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to fling your favorite fishing rod around. And here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance covers your boat and your belongings. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to high-five someone. But not while you're holding your fishing rod. That's a prized possession. So hold on tight with both hands and keep it covered through boat insurance. Get more with GEICO.
Pie Catcher. A series of true stories of the unceasing search for enemy spies in wartime, based on the memoirs of Lieutenant Colonel Oreste Pinto of the Allied Counterintelligence Service. This week's story is entitled Neutral Ground. The part of Colonel Pinto is played by Bernard Argent.
In the spring of 1943, when my department was at its busiest, I had a call from a very senior intelligence officer. It was an unexpected visit, and it was to have unexpected results. But the meeting began in a most informal way. Oh, morning, sir.
Morning, Pinto. It's a friendly visit. Sit down. No need for ceremony.
Oh, thank you, sir.
How's it going?
Oh, quite well, sir. We're keeping up to date.
Overdoing it?
No, I don't think so. A rather short staff, but we're coping all right.
How long is it since you had leave, Colonel?
Oh, not since before the war, sir.
At least 3 years. Much too long. You'll be getting the admin people into trouble. You should take your leave.
Oh, I'm afraid we're much too busy, sir. It takes us all our time to keep up with routine.
Ah, that's just the point. I've been talking to the MO. He's rather worried about you. Tells me you're losing weight. Puts it down to overwork. He's been watching you in the mess, too. Says you're getting jumpy. We both prescribe a spot of leave. What about it?
Well, if you'll permit me, sir, I disagree. I'm quite fit. I know the work of this headquarters. And this is not the time to take a holiday. It couldn't be done.
You know the old army saying, Pinto, no man should be indispensable. Supposing I had a breakdown. Supposing I had to put in a confidential report saying that, that you should be transferred to a lighter job.
Well, sir, if you feel like that...
Good. So you'll apply for leave.
If you say so, sir.
Today?
Yes, I'll make an application today.
Good. And I'll see if I can get you extra staff. Now, have a good holiday.
Thank you, sir.
And have a good rest.
Yes, sir.
Oh, sorry, sir. Quite all right, Captain. Come in. I'm just leaving.
Oh, thank you, sir. Brigadier.
Yes.
Another case, sir?
Nope.
Well, we've enough on our plate already, sir. Here's today's badge. Just come in. 5 escapers from Belgium.
Let's see.
Well, they seem all right, sir.
Good. You may have to deal with this batch yourself. I'm going on leave.
Leave, sir?
The MO says I'm losing weight and getting jumpy. You think so?
No, sir.
And the brigadier just prescribed leave. There are no buts. It's an order.
When, sir?
Immediately. They seem to think I'm falling to pieces.
Where will you go, sir?
I don't know. You have any suggestions?
Well, there isn't much you can do nowadays, sir. Most of the coast towns are restricted.
Fishing? I don't fish.
Golf?
No, don't play golf. Oh, I think I'll go to Eyre. It's the nearest neutral country. No rationing, no blackout. Tons of butter and eggs. I'll gorge myself and put on 2 stones. That should please the MO.
Well, don't forget the poor relations, sir. You can send back food parcels, you know.
I won't forget.
Do you know anyone over there, sir?
Tim O'Reilly. You remember him?
Yes, he's in the tank corps, sir. I thought he was in the desert.
Oh, he was wounded at Elagala.
He was invalided out about 6-7 months ago. Went back to air.
Be nice to see him again. Oh, he was a great fisherman, wasn't he, sir?
Well, I didn't say I was against fishing. I could always sit and watch.
But air is neutral, sir. Do you think it's safe for you to go there?
Why?
Well, we need all sorts of papers and identifications, and there's still a German embassy there and consulate.
My identity papers say I'm Frank Jackson.
Oh, yes, of course, sir.
And I think I could concoct a suitable cover story for myself for a quiet holiday. And I think you should start on this batch of reports.
All right, sir.
Captain.
Yes, sir?
You get me some good books on Irish folklore.
Yes, sir.
As my assistant had said, a visit to a neutral country could be dangerous. But as ordered, I applied for leave, and it was granted immediately. Within 3 days, I was in air, looking forward to walking again in lighted streets and ordering an unrationed meal. I found my old friend, Tim O'Reilly, and, of course, he took me fishing.
Well, now, you can just sit there and take it quiet and watch me.
What do you expect to catch around here, Tim?
I was about to ask you the self-same question.
Me? Oh, I'm on holiday, Tim. I can assure you it's not a busman's holiday. No strings attached. I just want to eat and sleep and get fat.
Do you know? Well, I'm after a trout. A big, fat trout. It lives in that pool down there. In half an hour, with a bit of luck, I'll have a mess of it.
Isn't that a lot of trouble for one trout?
Nothing's a trouble in Ireland. We'll have him for supper.
How's the leg, Tim?
Oh, all right. Stiff, but I say this for it. It's a damn good barometer.
Is it going to rain?
No. No, this one's special. It tells me when the weather's going to be good. Well, now, tell me about your holiday.
I've told you.
I don't think you have. You're a wily old bird, Arrested.
Jackson. Frank Jackson.
All right, you're a wily old bird, Frank Jackson, but you aren't fooling me.
Why not?
We know all about the spy.
What spy?
This place is stiff with Germans.
Well, you must expect that. You're neutral. Anyway, how many Germans?
3 or 4.
Oh, more than that in Dublin.
Ah, to hell with Dublin. I'm talking about here, Dundalk. Between here and the border, between here and Castle Blaney, there are Germans.
And I've no doubt they're here with official permission and on official business.
I believe you mean it.
Mean what?
Did you just come here to stuff yourself and get fat?
That's right.
Look here, Arrested.
It's Frank.
If you're pulling me leg... Look, will you come and meet someone this evening? A friend of mine.
Always pleased to meet a friend of yours. What's his name?
Father Devlin. He has a parish just outside the town. He knows everything that goes on around here. Will you come and meet him?
Whatever you say.
And I'll get this trout out, and we'll take it round to him. We'll have him for supper.
Whatever you say.
Oh, that was a lovely dinner.
It's worth going away for.
Yes, it was a lovely trout, Tim. Well worth all the trouble of catching him.
It took nearly half an hour to land him, Father.
And now, to the best of my knowledge, it's taken you 4 weeks to land him.
Well, that's the sport of it, Father.
Well, now, let's have a little drink to wash it down. You take whiskey, Mr. Jackson?
Yes, please.
Do you find this much of a change from England, Mr. Jackson?
I hope he won't, Father. I want you to tell him about the trouble we're having on the border.
Now, actually, you know as much as I know myself,
but he won't believe me. He's got to believe your reverence now. And I wouldn't like to match my information against yours.
That might be true enough. Now, there's your drink, Mr. Jackson. Help yourself to water.
Oh, thank you.
Now, what is it you're wanting to know?
He doesn't want to know anything. He won't listen to me. I want you to tell him. Now, it happens, Father, that he's an old friend, and he's an expert on spies. It also happens, Frank, that Father Devlin knows everything that goes on around here.
Nah, I wish I did, Tim. But if there's a story to tell, where do we begin?
Tell him, Father, there are too many Germans around, and some of them too near the border.
But he won't listen to me.
All I said to Tim was that 2 or 3 Germans are not a lot. Well, not in a neutral country, and you are neutral.
Neutral, me foot. I was 3 years in a tank corps in the Western Desert.
Now, there is trouble, Mr. Jackson. And Tim's all for doing something about it. But there isn't much we can do. You see, it's hard to put a finger on it. We're near the border, and there's a lot of talk going round. Well, maybe talk's too big a word. The fact is, something's going on, and nobody's quite sure what it is. Or shall I know myself? Nobody knows, but everybody knows if you know what I mean.
What kind of talk?
About these Germans. And plotting trouble on the border and over the border.
You mentioned a spy. Did you mean that? And you know who he is?
We have a damn good idea.
Calls himself a Swiss gentleman, if you please. Came here about 4 months ago.
Eh?
Well, now the locals call him Mr. Miller, but by rights he's a Mr. Muller.
And you know why he's here?
To build a factory, he says. He looks here and he looks there, and always he's looking near the border. Now he's up at Castle Blaney looking for a place for this factory.
What kind of factory, do you know?
He's going to turn our fine Irish milk into milk chocolate. Or so he says.
Well, the Swiss are experts at that. Perhaps it's true. But it's a strange project for wartime.
And it's a strange place to want to build this factory up there on the border. And there's trouble being made for you just across that border. Now, you must know about that.
You think he's an agent, an active German agent?
We know there's an agent. This might be the man.
Hmm. What's your interest in it?
It causes trouble. It gets people into trouble. And we don't want it here.
We don't want it anywhere. But for a start, we don't want it here.
Look, we're handing you a spy on a plane.
Now, someone you think is a spy or an agent.
You're the expert. Check on him and tell us if we're right.
You said he was getting people into trouble.
Well, it was one of my parishioners, Paddy Flynn. But that's not so important.
Now, what about Paddy Flynn?
Well, he's working for this Mr. Miller, as he calls him. And he's getting more money than's good for him.
What kind of money?
Enough to keep him in Gallagher's bar all evening, and part of the afternoon, too, and standing rounds a drink for the first time in his life.
Do you know why he gets this money, or what he does for it?
Oh, well, Paddy does this. Taps his nose, which means it's not for milking the cows.
Is there a radio transmitter anywhere in the district?
A private one, you mean?
Yes.
Well, if there was, I'd have heard about it, but the guard would. Our police are no fools, you know.
Don't they know about this?
We'd like them to know, if we were sure.
I hope this isn't delicate ground, Father, but the IRA is strongly anti-British. Would its members help a German agent?
They would. I have no doubt they would. And maybe they are.
Yeah. Where is this Mr. Miller?
At this very moment, he's in a hotel at Castle Blaney, on the border.
Look, Frank, would you go up there and check on him?
Well, if he is an agent, what am I supposed to do? Tuck him under my arm and bring him back?
No. No, just tell me. I didn't spend 3 years
Tim, there are other ways. But we must be sure if it is Muller.
It would mean asking a lot of questions. I couldn't pass for an Irishman.
At dinner, you said you were interested in Irish folklore. Now, the Irish are great talkers once you get them started. And that's a good way to get them started.
But I don't know enough.
I can help you with that.
Will you go?
Yes.
Ah, good. Fine.
Now, I'll get John Joe to drive you there in the morning. He knows the way like the back of his hand.
Well, let's talk about folk tales. I must get them right.
Yes. And let's have another drink while we're gone.
Late next morning, the local jarvey, John Joe Lynch, called for me, and we set out in his pony and trap for the border. It was a pleasant morning, but this matter of seeking out an enemy agent in a neutral country was not as simple as my friends thought. In Eire, both sides had friends, and I had no official backing for what I was about to do. After a time, John Joe, being a talkative old Irishman, began to quiz me, first about my friendship with Father Devlin, then my friendship with Tim O'Reilly, and then about England and my reason for being here. I mentioned my interest in folklore, which was my cover story, and he turned out to be a bit of an expert himself.
Oh, it's an interesting thing indeed, sir, that educated men like Father Devlin and yourself should be knowing all these strange stories. But I'll be telling you a stranger one myself. Whoa there. Whoa now. Stand, girl. Do you see that road to the left, sir?
Yeah.
Now, that's the shortest way to Castle Blaney, but it's also the longest, and I'll tell you for why. It crosses the border into Ulster, and there's guards at the border, and they'll search the trap, and they'll ask questions, and they'll fill in papers, and they'll stamp them. Something to do with the war, they say. And a few miles further on, it crosses the border again back into Eire.
Yeah.
And there's guards there, and they'll search the trap, and they'll ask questions, and they'll fill in papers, and they'll stamp them. I'm sure it'll be the longest shortcut you ever took. Now, this road to the right is the longest way, but it's also the quickest, if you know what I mean. Well, now, which way would you like to go, sir?
We won't cross the border.
Just as you say, sir. Come on now. Lift them, me girl.
Is it always as quiet as this along the border?
Oh, most times, sir. Most times, except at night.
Huh? What happens at night?
Ah, that's when the business is done. The smuggling, you know, the butter and eggs and things like that.
Is there much smuggling?
Oh, a bit here and there. For the folks in the north, you know. We don't want any part of the war, but we just can't let them starve now, can we?
Is it easy to slip across the border at night?
As easy as going to market. Sure, sometimes the lads get impatient and they just take some cattle and drive them over on the hoof and sell them, you know. Or you can do it easy enough if you know the way.
This was disturbing news. If the border with Northern Ireland was as open as John Joe said, then I felt that I must take a look at Mr. Müller. Eventually, we found the hotel, a comfortable, old-fashioned hotel, and I prepared for the job on hand.
Whoa there! Whoa now! Stand, Gerald. Well, here you are, sir.
Thank you.
Will I be calling for you later, sir?
I don't know. It depends.
I'm sure Father Devlin will let me know if I'm needed. Goodbye to you, sir.
Goodbye.
Come on with you, Gerald.
Oh, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon. My name is Jackson. I understand that I have a room reserved.
Yes, sir. Will you sign the register, sir? It's room number 5.
Thank you.
You're just too late for lunch, sir. But would you like something to eat? I could probably get you... Oh, Mr. Muller.
Yes, Mrs. Finn.
There's a letter for you, sir.
Oh.
Here it is, sir.
Thank you, Mrs. Finn.
Will you be in for dinner this evening, sir?
Yes. About 7. Oh, I beg your pardon.
That's quite all right.
Now, would you like something to eat, Mr. Jackson? Mr. Jackson.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, thank you, Mrs. Finn.
Very good, sir. Here's your key, sir.
Thank you. Room number 5,
and dinner is at 7 o'clock.
I settled in at the hotel and then decided to see the town and the border. There were less than half a dozen guests at the hotel, and it was simple enough later to get into conversation with Mr. Müller. He was an intelligent, pleasant-looking man, and typically Nordic. After dinner, I invited him to have coffee with me. He accepted, and he seemed to know that I had sought him out.
Well, this corner seems quiet enough, will this do?
Of course.
Excuse me, sir. Will you have coffee in here, sir?
Yes, Mrs. Finn. Brandy?
Please.
And 2 glasses of brandy, please.
Yes, sir. I'll bring them straight away, sir.
So, you know Switzerland, Mr. Jackson. Do you know Zurich?
Yes, very well.
Damn.
Unfortunately, no, not so well.
You would find it most interesting. In your researches. You must tell me about your researches. Bern is also very ancient, many legends, and very beautiful. But perhaps I'm biased. It is my native city.
Mm-hmm. How do you like Ireland, Mr. Müller?
Delightful. But a business trip is not always a holiday. The Irish people are delightful, too, but not as businesslike as one would wish.
Have you been here long?
I came only in July.
From Bern?
From Bern.
Here you are, sir.
Ah, thank you, Mrs. Smith. That's all right. I'll pour out.
Very good, sir.
Black or white?
Black, please. Thank you.
And your brandy.
Thank you. How long will you be with us, Mr. Jackson?
Oh, just a day or two. Perhaps until the end of the week.
A short holiday?
Yes.
From England?
Yes.
To study this ancient history and its folklore?
Yes. I also have friends here with similar interests, and it's important to keep in touch.
You must tell me about your studies.
Certainly, if you're interested. In this part of Ireland, the legends are mostly concerned with a great hero.
Mythical?
Yes, named Cuchulainn.
I have heard it mentioned.
He was a warrior. The great champion. Also, there was a bull, a brown bull called the Brown Bull of Kilney. This bull was over the border in Ulster. It belonged to Dara. It was supposed to have magical qualities. Well, some of the people on this side of the border thought that they'd cross over and attack and take possession of it. Of course, it became known, and there was no doubt that Cahoolan would be called upon to defend the bull. And Cahoolan had never been defeated in battle. But the people on this side were equally determined, and they had a plan.
Most interesting. You must tell me how it ends.
Well, of course, it's a kind of history, really prehistory. This contest for the bull is one of the great Celtic legends. In fact, it's the contest between night and day, or between light and darkness.
In the story, the forces of light were across the border?
Yes.
And, of course, the forces of light must always win. How would the story go now when it is dark over there, a blackout, and the light is here in County Monaghan?
Well, that's an interesting point.
I take it that you are also interested in modern history.
You mean the war? Well, it's difficult not to be interested.
How are things in England, Mr. Jackson?
Well, very good. Most encouraging. And improving all the time. But, of course, I may be biased in this.
Have you had experience of the night bombing?
Oh, that's something we don't talk about.
I'm sorry. It is called careless talk.
Yes.
I should not have asked.
As a neutral, what's your opinion of it all?
I think it's not my concern. Air is neutral, too. I must respect my host.
Oh, you must have been asked often enough.
Oh, yes, many times. I think it is very sad when two great nations find themselves inevitably locked in a life-and-death struggle. I find it distressing.
You say inevitably. Do you mean unnecessarily?
Well, it must be. Don't you think so?
I don't know. I was asking you.
You ask many questions, Mr. Jackson. It would seem that
you're... Excuse me, Mr. Morris.
Yes, yes, what is it?
There's a phone call for you.
Oh, thank you, Mrs. Finn. Excuse me, please.
Certainly.
If you will come with me, Mr. Morris, I'll show you where you can sit.
I was now certain that Müller was a German agent. But just as I was starting my attack on him, we were interrupted. Removing an enemy agent in a neutral country is a delicate and dangerous game. Governments don't like it, and the agent usually has many friends. I prepared my plan by sending a telegram. It was an innocent telegram to Tim O'Reilly, but it would do. I handed it to Mrs. Finn and waited for Müller to return. He was very confident, and if my suspicions were correct, I knew he must return to the fight.
It was some friends, Mr. Jackson. They wished me to spend the evening with them, but I declined.
I see. More coffee?
No, thanks. Now, what were we saying?
Well, you were saying that I asked many questions.
Yes.
Too many?
Perhaps.
And you've returned to find out why.
Tell me why.
You've returned because you want to know who I am. And you suspect that I know who you are.
Please go on.
I shall, Mr. Müller. And I'll come straight to the point. Most people have some little habit that they hardly notice. Some constantly finger their necktie. Some touch their lapel. You, Mr. Müller, have the habit of playing with the top button of your waistcoat. You've done this several times since we met, and at particular times. May I examine it?
Why?
You think I'm being impertinent?
Yes.
Then you're quite free to leave. You can go away. But if you want to know who I am, you must stay and take my questions.
Who are you?
I'll be quite frank with you, Mr. Müller. We give our agents buttons like that, too. But we try to ensure that they don't fiddle with them. I believe you got the idea from us. For our pilots and air crew who might crash in enemy territory, we put in the button a small compass. For our agents, we put in a poison pill. If in danger from a person like me, you can give it to me. If the danger is even greater, you can take it yourself. But I hasten to assure you that the danger is not so great. May I examine it? No? Then shall we continue our conversation?
Yes. But if it is now my turn to talk.
Go on.
We are in a neutral country, Mr. Jackson, and I, at least, am the citizen of a neutral state. Are you?
Go on.
Whatever you may think, my papers and credentials are in order. I'm a protected person.
Are you?
I also have many friends.
We both have friends. While you were on the telephone, Mr. Müller, I took care to send a telegram to a friend. You can ask Mrs. Finn. This friend tells me that the border here is so open, if you know it well, that at night you can smuggle cattle across, and even people. How would you like to be taken to Northern Ireland, Mr. Miller?
My papers are in order. I can go there any time.
Not now.
I can go to England if I wish.
You should try.
You come here to tell me this?
I've come here to tell you that you're a German agent. Now, you may be a Swiss businessman, but I doubt it. You're here on the Irish border as a German agent.
You have come to do something about this?
Yes. To see that you're removed. Now, let's be reasonable about this, Mr. Miller. Now that we know who you are, you won't be much use to your employer. Oh, in some neutral countries, you might still be safe, in Spain or in Portugal. But not here. We have too many friends. I can give you a choice. I can have you removed, or you can remove yourself.
This would be easier for you.
And for you, Mr. Miller.
I will think about it. How long are you staying, Mr. Jackson?
Until you leave.
Brandy, Mr. Jackson?
If you'll let me have that button first.
You don't trust me. Then perhaps you would like to order the brandies. I think we both need a drink.
Next morning, Anton Müller had checked out of the hotel. In the afternoon, I phoned the airport at Dublin and learned that he had left for Lisbon. There was no doubt that Anton Müller was a German spy. But there was nothing more I could do, except to return to Dundalk and hope that, until the war was over, my chief would never hear about my busman's holiday.
You've been listening to Spycatcher, with Bernard Archard as Colonel Oreste Pinto. The script was written by Robert Barr, and the program produced for the BBC by Charles Mack.
Owning a boat comes with a number of perks, like being able to say, ahoy, or land ho, and not feel weird about it. So here's another perk. GEICO's boat insurance offers access to the largest towing fleet on the water. And with specialist support from agents that are as passionate about boating as you are, there's so much value that you'll want to say, shiver me timbers, and not feel weird about that either. Get more with GEICO.